Hello, everybody. It's me. It's PokemonTrueHD, and welcome back to a brand new type of video. As you can tell by the title, this is a podcast. Now, if you don't know what a podcast is, basically a very lengthy video where, you know, you can feel free to tap out or tap in, whatever you want to do, but feel free to tap out and just listen to us talk. Now, when I say us, yes, I said us. I am not alone. I am joined by the one and the only Livin' Like Log.
Hey guys, my name's Livin' Like Log. I'm a fairly new Dragalia Lost YouTuber. Story about my channel is I was bored and I wanted to watch more Dragalia Lost content, and there just aren't enough Dragalia Lost content creators, so I decided to become one, and here we are. Pretty good story, I know.
Bada boom, bada bang. He was bored, here he is.
Exactly.
Isn't that how all YouTube channels begin?
Pretty much, essentially. So yeah, that's our channels, guys. Yeah,
pretty much.
Pokemon Trip HD, if you're watching from my side. And then it's just Livin' Like Log if you're watching from his side.
Name should be on the screen, right?
Yeah, they'll be on the screen. So there you go. So the first topic, you know, we introduced ourselves. First topic we wanted to talk about, you know, to kind of get you to know us a little bit more. What type of players we are in Dragalia Lost. So I guess I'll start, talk about what type of player I am. So I've been playing since day one. I think it was like September like 28th, 27th, something like that. I've been playing since then. I was very excited for the release. It looked interesting, it looked fun, and it was by Cygames, so I knew it had a little bit of credibility to it. In terms of spending habits, I consider myself dolphin whale-ish territory. I've spent a couple hundred on this game, no lie. And I think the most I've whaled on a single banner was for Halloween Alisan. I probably dropped like 150, maybe 200 on her alone. I didn't get her, so yeah.
And you didn't get
and
her.
And I didn't
That's
get her.
That's the part that hurts me the most.
Dude, I want her so bad. And then in terms of other gacha and mobile games I've played in the past, the only other one I've played like really hardcore, I'd say, is Kingdom Hearts Unchained Key. I guess it's Union Cross nowadays, but it was Unchained Key when I played it. So yeah, I played that. It didn't go well. That's all I'm going to say. So so Trip, you could tell us about your, like, what type of player you are and your habits and stuff like that.
All right, so just like Livin' Like Log, I've been playing since day one. Actually, technically day two, because the account I have started on day two. But I did play Dragalia Lost literally the first like 5 minutes the game came out. I remember staying up and streaming myself playing it at night, and I had to like whisper into the mic because everybody was asleep and I didn't want everyone to hate me. So that's my story.
Did you re-roll at all, or did you just go in?
Yeah. So that's why this is a day two account technically, because I spent like the first day re-rolling. And then I actually re-rolled a really good account with, I think it was like Maribel and Xander or something. But I actually gave that account away for an account that had Nefaria. And you can imagine how that trade worked out.
That's the biggest downgrade ever, dude.
That is the
biggest. I mean, in terms of waifu, though, she's pretty good. But in terms of gameplay, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't just Nefaria. It was Nefaria and Ezolith. And I know how much you love Ezolith.
Dude, I freaking hate Ezolith. It's just, we were talking before we started recording the podcast. I just don't like Ezolith. I just have a hatred for that girl. I spent way too much money on the first banner of this game because I was trying to get good units. Ezolith was a raid up, and I got so many dupe Ezoliths. It was, I don't even want to talk about it. That's when it was 3,000 per dupe, right? It was 3,000?
Yeah.
Ugh, gross. That's disgusting.
At least you got compensated, right? For the
I did. I got I got a crazy amount. Like 100,000 plus when that happened. It was crazy. But
that was definitely one of the better changes that the game made.
Oh yeah, definitely. In my opinion, speaking of changes, here we go. Transition. Let's talk some news about Dragalia Lost. So how it's usually gonna work, we should talk about how this podcast is gonna go. We'll do that first.
Yes,
we're all over the place. This is the first episode, okay? Leave us alone. How this is gonna work, episode one is gonna be on both our channels, correct? All right, you can talk about how it's gonna be split up from there.
All right, so both the episode one channels will be up. Episode one channels, what? Both the episode one will be on both of our channels. And then from there onwards, we're going to be alternating which episode is on whose channel. So We're going to have the odd episodes on Log's channel while the even episodes are on my channel. So episode one, which is this one that you're watching right now, it will be on both, while episode two will be on mine, episode three on Log's, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know how numbers work, right? So that's how it's going to be going. And of course, we'll have the link to both of our channels in the description. Well, you know, not both, but whichever channel you're not watching on will be in the description. So exactly. You can always just check us out there. And yep. The podcast should be up, I would say, how often? Two, 3 weeks?
We said like every 2 weeks. We do one in the middle of the month and then one at the end / the beginning of the next month. I think that's a good
rotation. Just so we can go over the content.
Exactly, exactly. So for today's episode, for example, we're going to be going over everything that's happened for the first half of July. And there's been a lot that's been happening.
There's been a lot. So, there's been a lot.
Yeah, let's just jump into it. The first thing actually happened kind of late June, but it was majority July, and that's the Festival Phenoms showcase. Do you want to tell us what you thought about it, Trip?
Right, so the Festival Phenoms Showcase, if you're not aware, it was released, you know, when the New Year's event was being rerun. Did not feature any of the limited New Year's units like Eyasu or Sazonka or Addis or even Marishiten the Dragon. So it featured none of them and instead featured new non-limited units like Yaten, Natalie, and the five-star dragon Shinobi. Now, this showcase was crazy.
It was so good,
not
man.
Not only...
like ridiculous.
It was so good. Nobody thought Eyasu would get power crept, but it happened.
She's like no joke, better in some forms of content. Like Bakuro Gauntlet, she's a cheat code, man. She's ridiculous. Like oh.
Natalie is ridiculous in Bakuro Gauntlet, especially for the 60-second fights. That one mainly. She yeah. is ridiculous. Now, of course, you know level 41 and up, you have a 2-minute fight, so that's gonna change up the game drastically. And of course, we don't have level 6 or level 40 plus released yet in Light, so you can't even really use Natalie for that. But once it is released, you know, it's going to change up the game by a big margin.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm assuming, and we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but it's okay. Mercurial Gauntlet, like, it did get a time increase. I'm assuming it's going to go to 3 minutes eventually, too. And in that case, anything 180 seconds or above, Eyasu is better. So it's not like Natalie straight up power crept him. It's just in some terms, some content, like, she's definitely better, 100%.
Yeah, I always hear a lot of talk about power creep, but you have to realize that power creep isn't always linear. You know, it's not just straight up, this adventure is better than this adventure, at least not in Dragalia Lost. You know, some games, they might have that, but not in Dragalia Lost. You know, Natalie is better for some content, Eyasu is better for other content.
Exactly. And there was two other units, and both were actually really good. Like, I know we're talking a lot about Natalie, but Natalie, you could say debatably, was the weakest part of that banner, just because the other two were also so amazing. And that was Shinobi the Dragon, who's ridiculous and makes Eyasu and the gang even better.
Even better, like, which I didn't think it was
so
possible.
It's so funny, but... because Marishiten is like, he's canonical dragon, and it's worse on him. I just think that's hilarious to me.
I know. How do they power creep the dragon and the adventure?
The limited dragon. Oh, no. Like, it's ridiculous. So good.
The limited dragon. And it's crazy, because Marishiten also inflicts bleed, and she is still power crept.
Exactly. Yeah, Shinobi's ridiculous. And the reason is... if you guys don't know, it's because bleed and skill damage, I guess skill damage affects bleed's potency. So that's why mm-hmm. it's so good on characters like Eyasu and Botan and stuff like that.
And not only does Shinobi offer that skill damage plus 70% along with strength plus 20%, his skill also energizes the entire team.
Dude, it's so stupid.
So that's even more damage.
So much damage. I love it. Then there is also, I mean, speaking of energy, transition.
Speaking of energy.
Yaten is like probably, in terms of, if there was another dream summon and I could pick one and it included like current adventurers, I'd definitely pick Yaten. In terms of like viability and gameplay, he's so good. His energy production is just through the roof.
Yeah, I think he might be the fastest energy cycling adventure in the game.
I think right? You're right, because Bold Blade, his skill too, it's got like super low SP cost, and it just, you get that thing
low
up
SP
all the time.
And his skill one also increases energy level.
Yeah, and then also he's got like energy stacking mechanics. He's ridiculous. Like, this dude, Yaten, definitely the star of the showcase for me, just mechanically. Waifu, I mean, Natalie, I mean, come on. I mean, look at her. She's so cute.
Hey, Yaten's a waifu.
Oh, Yaten, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. Shinobi, though. Shinobi. Hold on.
Shinobi's the real waifu. Let's be real.
Let's be real, dude. That shuriken shower? Dang, dude. Crazy.
So but, overall, this showcase was really, really good.
Definitely, yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I personally didn't go hard on it. I just did the daily pull, and I did get a one copy of Shinobi. And you better believe I used my dragon stones on that baby. And him and Iyasu are best friends now. Marishiten's crying in that corner.
The main thing that hurt this banner was that it's not limited.
If it was limited, bro, I would have gone insane. I would have been really hard on this
banner. Yeah, the value for this banner would go up so much. But since it's not limited, you could always pull these units in the future. They're not going away anytime soon. They're going to be here for the rest of the game's life. So you could pull them at any point. And you have to keep in mind, there's so many other banners coming up that are limited. You know, not only Gala, we have possibly Summer coming up.
Dude, Summer Berserker. You know, nothing has been announced. It's happening, yet. Man. Summer Berserker. You know, my dad works at Nintendo and Cygames, man. My dad works at Nintendo, and then my uncle works at Cygames, and they just told me the stuff, man. I'm just letting you know. Summer Berserker.
Trust Living Like Log. He's not lying.
That's or right. I mean, you'll have to wait and see. You know, late July, Summer Banner happening. I promise. The next episode, the thumbnail's gonna have Summer Berserker. 100%. I'm telling you.
Shirtless Berserker on the cover.
Yes, yes. But I think we got our thoughts on Festival Phenoms. That's what we thought. Overall, you enjoyed it, right? You thought it was a good showcase?
Yeah, overall, I definitely think it's one of the best. But of course, there's so many other great banners that should be coming up soon. So it's just hard to justify pulling on this unless you really needed a better shadow unit on your team.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So that's all we're going to talk about that. The next kind of big news, and actually not even kind of big, this is really big news. Like, how often does this happen? We got a brand new director. Matsura, our boy.
A brand new director.
Yeah. You can go ahead and talk about
like,
this one.
Like, wow. And it came out of nowhere.
Exactly. So our boy, like, Yuji Okada is now the new big boss man.
The new director of Dragon Ball Lost. Matsura did us great, you know. R.I.P. Matsura, you will never be forgotten.
Ever,
even though he's not dead, but you know.
Dude, what makes me the most, like, sad about Matsura leaving, he wasn't even here for first year anniversary. And this was, like, his baby. This was his game.
This is his baby. This is his baby. 100%. He's been making this game the whole time.
I saw, I was on, like, Nintendo Everything, and they had an interview with him pre-release. And you could tell he was, like, super passionate about the game and stuff, and it's like, oh, man, why can't you just stick around for a little bit? I mean, he's not doing a bad job, Yuji Okada. Like, so far, like, the stuff he's dropped, the content, and we'll get into that new content soon, but it's been really nice. Like, I've enjoyed it, but
there was a lot of uncertainty, you know, following the director replacement, but once we got the what's ahead part, what was it, part 5?
Dude, is that a transition?
I feel like
right
that
here?
Shut down most of the doubts.
Is that a transition?
I think that is a transition.
Whoa. Okay. So, What's Ahead Part 5 came out like the day after. Before that, the What's Ahead came out, the subreddit and like Discord was on fire. It was like that scene from SpongeBob where like you look into his brain and like he's freaking the heck out. You know what I'm talking about? I like SpongeBob.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But
oh, that's amazing.
So we got like three main things to talk about with the What's Ahead. Of course, there's the Flames of Reflection event, which is going on now. So let's talk about that. What do you think of the current event? Are you enjoying it?
So the Flames of Reflection event, story-wise, I think it's actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, we meet new adventures, technically new, that we didn't know before, as well as, you know, getting more info on Ramona, because we really had no explanation on Ramona, right?
Definitely, yeah, no, she's been there.
She just came out of nowhere.
We just didn't know anything about her. There was that, like, one worm print, that one four-star print that showed all three of them, but that's all we knew.
We knew nothing about Ramona. She's just building our weapons for no reason. But with this, I feel like this should have actually been a part of the story.
Yeah, she should have. It should have talked about how she has a monopoly over the entire castle and how making a five-star weapon makes me broke every single time.
Every single time, and she keeps doing it.
She should give us some sort of loyalty discount, you know? Like, she has a straight-up monopoly.
She's joining us to fight against the Empire but she's charging us, which makes no sense. But okay, Ramona.
I mean, I don't know, man. Five-star weapons must just be broke, man. They must be absolutely disgusting.
They must be broke. Oh, as we're speaking about this, the event, let's actually discuss this story a little bit. So what this story was about, you know, the three sisters, Ramona, Reyna, and Renee. Reyna have such close names.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We were like, Renee, Reyna, and then Ramona. Ramona's got the good name. And then the other two are just like...
Yeah, Ramona has the good one.
The parents got lazy with that one.
The best.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about Ramona. Yeah. She's bonkers.
We'll talk about Ramona soon, but the story, you know, it showed the three of them and the struggles that they had to overcome to become better blacksmiths and follow in their father's footsteps. Spoilers, if you haven't read the story.
A little late on that one.
I should have said that first.
But I agree with you. The story is really good. In fact, like, it was crazy how usually in facility events, there's like two of those like filler quests where you just go kill some mobs. And this one, or no, sorry. There was just two filler quests. Usually there's a lot more. Usually the progression is like chapter, filler quest, yada, yada. It was just two this time. There was a lot of story to read through. It's like a novel. It's ridiculous. But yeah.
And we also got introduced to a new character. I don't remember his name, but there was a new character in the Flames of Reflection.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. He had like,
I don't remember who that was though.
Dark hair. He was kind of short. I don't remember. He was a rival blacksmith. Is that who you're talking about?
The rival blacksmith guy.
Yeah, yeah. We might see him on another banner. I could totally see that.
We might see him on a banner, but at the same time, we didn't get a banner for Su Feng, so I don't know if we will.
Are you talking?
Maybe they're going to save it for a rerun.
You're talking Wukong, that dude?
Kong, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we got Su Feng.
Wukong.
Yeah,
we got Su Feng. We got him for free.
Yeah, Su Feng.
Wukong.
Shout out to Su Feng.
We got a banner for him.
Shout out to Su Feng.
Shout out to Su Feng.
We needed a 4-star Wind Dagger, and he gave us the goods. So congrats.
He gave us the goods. No, but Wukong, we didn't get a banner for him, even though he was data mined to have a sprite and everything.
That's what they did with Silas,
right? So
that was
pretty weird.
Because Silas wasn't on his initial.
Yeah, they did that with Silas.
Exactly. So
and then Silas was released.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Let's see. So, yeah, the current event, it's pretty good. What do you think of the it's not Nightmare. It's called Expert or Master difficulty?
Oh, Master. The Master Challenge Battle. Yeah. So I think it's actually not too difficult, mainly because, you know, Sleepras, we have so many Slayer strength options like Navid, like Carl, and we also have the Heroes Arrive Wormprint, which is just so good.
It's honestly, it's going to make any facility event from here on out so easy, just because you can stack.
Yeah.
And especially you get like, because I'm currently using Navid, you get that and Navid.
And the Slayer strength.
Yeah, they you could stack more Slayer strength. I think it goes up to like 10, which it's 10 times 6. That's 60% strength bonus.
Permanent strength for the remainder of the quest.
It's ridiculous. Bonus.
So if your strength is 2,000, your strength is way above that now.
Oh, yeah. I like Navid, actually. I wanted to talk about him because, well, actually, let's talk about our team comps. But for me, the main person I've been using is Navid because when he was first introduced, like, he was one of the first banners way back. He was introduced during a raid event, which makes no sense for his kit because it's all about
facility events.
It's all about, yeah, all about killing a bunch of mobs and stacking up and using his crystalline blades and stuff like that. So I'm glad that we finally got the fire facility event, so I could use
him. With Sleepras, too.
Exactly. No, it's perfect for Navid. He's a lot of fun to use. I actually really like him now. He's cool. Who have you been using? Yeah.
I personally don't have Navid, so I've been using Carl, the Justice Boy.
The Justice.
And he actually does really, really good. I can only imagine how good Navid is if Carl is doing this good.
I mean, yeah, I think the Carl, the good thing about him, doesn't his skill, too, have like a strength buff for the entire team?
Yeah, he does have a strength buff, so that's really, really good. I feel like he helps the team more than he helps himself. But of course.
Okay, he's pushing the team up. He's a support unit, so that's, you know, that's kind of his job a little bit.
Yeah, it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, Carl's cool.
Overall, I'm really sad there's no good. I'm sad there's no good flame healer that has sleep res. Like, I'm using Verica and Valentine's Hildegard because there's no good flame healer with sleep res.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm using Verica too. I've got. Let's see, Verica, I think I'm using Gallus Aris, Navid, obviously, and then Makoto. My Makoto is the dumbest Like, he's so stupid. Every time that the big turtle blue monster does his purple AoE belly flop, my Makoto just runs right in there. He's like, I got it, guys. Hold on. And yeah.
Yeah, my Makoto AI does the same thing, and I yell at him every time, but he keeps doing it. I don't understand.
Dude, someone in my comment section said the exact same thing. Maybe Makoto is just programmed.
He's too offensive. Yeah,
no, he's angry. He's angry all the time. He's sad that he
wants his cat.
He wants his cat. I was about to say, he wants his cat. And he's thinking, maybe this guy has hit my cat. And that's
Speaking
why.
Of stories, I actually haven't even read Mikoto's story, but I know there's something
You know, but I think there's cat in his art. So there you go.
Oh, it's in his art. Okay.
He's looking for his cat. That's his entire story. He was sent from the heavens.
So he's looking for a cat. Okay, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, it's like his best
I actually
friend.
Skip most of the adventure stories, to be honest.
Yeah, you gotta get that Wormite.
Yeah.
I feel that.
I just skip them all.
I feel that. No remorse. All right. I skip every single one.
Every single one. Even Ellie. Poor Ellie.
Poor Ellie Sam. She's waifu. She just wants
Ellie
to Sam's get...
my waifu. Okay, she all right. Let's...
Yeah, all right. Yo, it's a good event, though. TLDR.
It's a good event.
It's a good event. Good rewards. 100 consecrated water at the end. I saw that.
That was really nice. Who needs eld water when you have consecrated water?
Exactly. It's all just in one little consecrated area. Hey, oh, how far are you in the event, by the way? I know it's been going on for a couple
So I've actually already finished the event, but, you know, the event's been on for a while, so.
I'm taking my time. I'm at
what about you?
800,000. About to hit that million mark.
Oh, you're almost done.
Yeah. I'm not, like, using any pots or anything. I'm just kind of chilling out, getting my things done.
Yeah, there's no need to rush, really.
Exactly.
Like, I just like to grind it because... What happened?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like to use, you know, pots or wings or whatever it is to get more drops because you get more eld water just for playing the event with the worm print drops.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting plenty of worm print drops, especially the event worm print, like that one with, I think, Mims on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's actually a really good worm print right now in the event, flame or not in the event, but you can get it as a drop in the event. It's basically the Chocolatiers, but it's also not the Chocolatiers because it actually has a different type of prep than the Chocolatiers.
Oh, you're talking about the girls out. Charge.
Yes, the girls out.
I think that's what it's something like that. It's
Sisters Day out.
Sisters, you got it. Yeah, yeah. Talk about it.
So it's actually a really good print. You know, it has force charge instead of just straight up skill prep. Which is really, really good in my opinion, and it comes with four strike bonus, so it's a nice combo. And since we're speaking of worm prints, let's actually talk about what's no longer on the banner worm prints. Let's talk about the banner itself, the summon showcase.
Oh yeah, for sure. My general thoughts on it: not as good as Festival Phenoms, but in terms of just sheer like appeal I have towards the adventurers, and like in terms of just characters, I quite like them. In terms of viability,
I always feel like there's more love towards these adventures when they actually have a story like around them.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the facility events.
There was no story with Natalie and Yatan, which kind of stinks because I want to know about them. But with Ramona, Reina, and Renee, I got to make sure I get them right. I did feel for them, so I kind of wanted to pull for them. I'm not pulling for them because Summer Berserker, I need him.
It's kind of the same stance with, you know, the last banner.
Essentially. I think this banner is a little bit weaker, though. Like, I'm feeling less tempted.
Uh-huh.
Just because, fire, or I guess flame. I'm calling it fire. as an element, we just have so many, like, really good fire adventures. My fire team's so stacked.
The only endgame content for flame adventures is High Midgard Stormer, and that's a joke. Let's be real.
That's a joke, and they don't even have the right resistance, which, for Midgard Stormer, you don't necessarily need. But it does show, like... There's definitely a lack of content for the resistances opposite of the ones viable for high dragon trials. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure what they're going to do to fill in that gap. Maybe once all the high dragons are done, they're going to do some second round of like high dragons, or maybe release like the siblings dragons as you know, you fight against them. But at the moment, there's really no endgame content for like sleep res or for poison res and the off elements. So it's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, so Side Games has been like doing this thing where they're releasing content to get us to the Dragon Trials, you know what I mean? Like Void Battles and stuff like that, like intermediate content. But for the people that already got to High Dragon Trials without all that stuff, it just feels like, what's the point? You know, we've already surpassed the power level needed to clear current in-game content, and you're just giving us easier content. So
yeah, I completely agree.
It's just
they
a little
did
weird.
Add though some new Mercurial Gauntlet levels.
Ooh, transition.
Which
hello.
Wait, no. Let's finish talking about the banner. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I got a little excited there. I love me a good transition. Okay, let's just go through the list. Let's start with the 4-star, Renee. What do you think? Current thoughts, viability, all that stuff.
Renee, she again is off element. She has stun res. She doesn't have burn res. So you can't even use her for Hybern Hilda. Well, you could, but you know what I mean. But she's actually really, really good as a water dagger. Now, her other competition for water daggers, you know, Orsum, I think Luther. Is that his name? Luther.
And she shares,
Dragon Eel Cleo.
The exact same stats with Luther. And the exact same resistance.
Really?
It's kind of weird. Yeah.
But she's actually much better.
So much better.
Because she has Bog. Bog is insane on her. Yep. She has 100% chance to inflict Bog.
Yeah, Bog is really good. It essentially, once you Bog them, it slows them down and also gets you a 50% damage increase. And then not only that, but her second skill increases her defense by a little bit, like 10% for 5 seconds, something like that, which you don't think is that good. But then you look at her abilities, and she has like healing double buff team-wide. So she's a really good support unit overall.
Yeah, and plus she has her first ability, which is just like the other two sisters, where once her first skill is charged, she gets, I think hers is a crit rate up, right?
Yeah, it's like prime devastation, something like that.
Yeah, so she gets her crit rate up. So even when you're just attacking, you get strength up or crit up, sorry. And you get your healing double buff with her second skill. And her first skill inflicts Bog, which of course you can't really use too much in endgame content, but it is an additional damage boost. Exactly. So overall, her DPS is really, really high. Like, compared to the other water daggers, I think she's the best.
She's up there for sure. Like, and for a 4-star especially, like, that's really impressive. So
yeah, especially for a 4-star.
Let's talk about, we'll say best for last. Let's go 5-star Fireblade Reyna.
So Reyna, first thing I want to say about Reyna is her art is amazing. Oh, and that Fireblade needs to be a weapon.
Honestly, like 10 out of 10 art team. Now, if we're talking gameplay team,
it is insane.
Y'all need to look back at this character because we got a certain Fireblade already, and his name is Makoto. And
yeah, I don't know why they tried releasing someone who could compete with Makoto. Like, what's the point?
You can't. And her kit is for content that doesn't exist. She's made for a different game. Yep. This is not the same. This is not good.
Yeah, she's made for a different game, not Dragalia.
Do you want to go over her kit real quick? Because I don't even like looking at her kit. It makes me disgusted, honestly.
All right, I guess I'll take the kit. So let's not talk about her skills first. Let's just talk about her abilities. So her abilities, first up is Prime Defense, which is just like Ramona's ability, which we didn't talk about, except for defense. Also like Renee's first ability, where when her first skill is charged, she gets a defense up. And this actually procs her healing double buff, which is her third skill.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and it's actually a nice combination, but again,
yeah,
go for it.
Well, the good thing about this is, with the prime skills, you can make it affect the adventurer that you're controlling. So it doesn't have to affect her necessarily.
Uh-huh.
So you could put this... This is the only part of her kit that I really like and makes me want to summon for her. It's because you can activate strength double buff things with her. So, like, if you ran her with Ramona on the team, and Ramona has strength double buff in her kit, but you can also give her, like, Valiant Crown and stuff like that, it's ridiculous. She can just keep getting strength buffs over and over and over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like she's more of a support unit when she's not even a support unit. She's a defense unit.
Yeah, she's a defense unit, and defense units in this game are complete jokes because there's not a single defensive style of content. Like, I know we joke about Berserker all the time, but he's a really bad unit because there's nothing. He's a tank when this is a game not about tanking up.
Not about tanks. This game is about DPS.
This is a DPS
Reyna,
meta.
She does have some good DPS. She has some okay DPS with, you know, her first two skills. She can cycle through them very well. But again, you can't compare it to Mikoto at all. Mikoto just blows her away in terms of DPS. He's too good. Reyna is for content about survival and it's just not needed yet. Maybe in the future.
Yeah, no, the only content I could see her maybe being better than Makoto in is, like, if we got some sort of defensive battle, like the Fae event, but for Fire Adventurers.
And also, like, more defense, because even in the Fae event, you know, you had that, the Shadow.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah, you wanted DPS to clear the Shadow Knight, so never mind. Honestly, she's just, I don't know, she's just kind of a worse Makoto, unless you have a certain team set up, then she might be better, but otherwise.
Yeah, I think if you have the proper, like, if there's more support units out there, you only use her as support and not for DPS, then maybe she can work. But at the moment, you know, there's just really no way that you can use her properly.
The one thing I do like about her is she can heal herself, technically, which is, that's good, some self-sustain. It's kind of removing the need for a healer, but it's sleep res content. You're not going to be needing a healer anyways, you know what I mean? Her entire kit confuses me, but we'll move on. She's definitely the weakest part.
We'll move on. Someone who's actually better than Mikoto.
Oh, yeah. And you tell the people that you actually pulled her, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually just pulled her. I pulled her off a single ticket, so...
You son of...
I'm a little lucky. Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
A little bit.
Oh, man.
But I haven't used her yet, so I don't know if that makes up for anything. It probably doesn't, but...
She's fantastic. She's...
Ramona.
Insane. Best Fire DPS
in the
game.
Flame DPS right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, number one.
And...
Beyond Mikoto.
Beyond Mikoto, beyond Galamen, beyond anybody...
Beyond Marth, beyond Gallus.
Yeah, I think Marth is second. She power crept Marth. No, but let's talk about her kit. So, like the others, she does have a primed ability, but this one is strength, and it's definitely the best one. It's 10% for 10 seconds, and what's great about her is she can have access to more strength via her Smith Shield skill, which activates a defense buff, and she has strength double buff, meaning her strength stat is off the charts. She already has, like, one of the best strength stats, but it just gets better. Like, it's so good.
At first glance, you might just think, oh, she's probably not going to be that good. But her first skill, the multipliers on it are insane. I think if you get all 6 hits in, isn't it like a 3,000% multiplier to your damage?
It's something like that. Yeah. I haven't done the exact math on it, but I know it's a lot.
It's insane. I think that's the highest DPS that... your skill can even get.
Yeah, and also, she's just wow. Along with Gala Cerise, she's like one of the adventurers you want to run Konohana Sakiya on just because of Forge Buster. It's just insane. She doesn't, even her 5-star Fire Axe doesn't have an attacking skill. It's just Forge Buster, and that makes up so much of her DPS that you want to use Konohana on her. It's crazy.
Speaking of dragons, let's actually talk about Arctos, the new flame dragon we have in the Flames of Reflection banner. Now, Arctos is kind of like Long, and in the form that, you know, he has strength and crit damage. I don't know if you want to discuss this a little bit.
Yeah, so it's 45% strength, 55% to the modifier applied to crit damage. He's going to be really useful on... I mean, technically, you could use him on any adventurer. You would just need a really specific build, and at some point, it just wouldn't even be worth it. But some key adventurers right now are Makoto, Yue, the 4-star Fire Axe. She's really good with it, apparently. Is there anyone else that I'm missing? Ezolith, obviously, you could work with because of daggers.
Ezolith, Reyna could make it work. Honestly, anyone that you get a crit rate of 22% or higher, he's going to work with. He can do it with, you know, Worm Prince or their abilities, whatever it is, they can make it work. Again, he does have some hard competition, though. Cerberus, Agni, Konohana Sakiya. So there's a lot of competition for the
there's
Flame Strength
so
Dragon.
Many, like, Fire Dragons are... There's so many of them, for sure. And but I think he has a good niche, especially with Makoto. Like, he is the go-to for Makoto right now. If you
he makes Makoto even better.
Exactly, and Makoto's already awesome. So
he's already good, so it makes him even better. But again, if you already have, say, Cerberus, Max Unbinded, you don't really need Arctos.
Exactly, yeah. He's not really a need, he's more of a... Or he's not a want. He's not a need, he's more of a want. Like, if you're a min-maxing type of player.
Exactly.
But moving on, now that we've talked about the kind of Flames of Reflection as a whole, both the event and the banner, let's talk about what else was kind of mentioned in the What's Ahead earlier this month. And there was Astral Raids and Augments, and we actually got Augments today as of this recording. Do you want to talk about your experiences with them so far?
Yeah, so I think it's better to just not use your augments unless you need to. So at the moment, you know, there's only the only clients that actually need augments. It's probably going to be Mercurial Gauntlet, which we'll talk about a little bit soon. So I think it's better to just save your augments for now until you know which adventures you're going to be using, or worm prints you're going to be using, or dragons, or whatever that you're actually going to be using. Overall, if you don't know what augments do, it increases your HP and strength of whatever you augment by 50. So a maximum of 250 onto your total build.
Exactly. And I wish I took your advice. I've actually already used mine. I used mine on Gala Mim.
Oh, no.
Because I wanted to clear Mercurial Gauntlet. That's why.
Yeah, but if you have like your waifu or husbando, you know, might as well augment them because you know you're going to be using
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And I'm wondering how Psy Games is going to actually like manage it. Like, are they going to become so common that we're going to be able to max out everybody? Or are they really going to kind of spoon feed us these augments? I'm curious how it's going to work. I know it's going to have something to do with Astral Raids, which I guess transition, you know, that's coming out next weekend, I want to say, right?
Next weekend, yeah. This upcoming weekend is going to be coming out, but currently it's not out yet. I do like the idea that, you know, you collect the astral pieces on the weekdays, and then on the weekends, you actually fight the raid bosses. I do like that idea.
No, that's a good kind of synergy there. I am a little confused about how we can only have 300, so I'm wondering how much it'll cost to actually go into an astral raid. Like, if it costs, like, 30, we can only do, like, 10 the entire weekend. I'm hoping it costs, like, maybe, like, 10... because that'd give us 30 full runs to be able to do, which I think would be a good
amount.
And
how many adventures or worm prints or whatever, how many augments are we going to get per raid battle?
Also, they're going to have to find a way to create some artificial rarity, because we're going to need a lot more worm print ones than we are going to, for example, like for dragons, you know what I mean? Or weapons,
yeah, there's
especially.
Only a couple dragons.
Exactly. So we're going to need a lot more of worm prints and more adventurers, and then like for weapons and stuff, we don't need too many of, because I mean, how many weapons are you actually going to use? That's all we kind of know about Astral Raids. They're going to bring back old raid bosses. We'll see. We'll be talking about it more in the next episode. Speaking of which, something else we'll be probably talking about next episode: alliances. What were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, alliances. So it was mentioned in What's Ahead Part 5 that they're going to be creating alliances. Now, there's a couple worries with alliances, because this is the first actual, like, proper way in Dragalia that you can actually communicate with other players. There really hasn't been a way to do that in Dragalia. You know, people have been using, like, Discord or whatever to communicate. But this is an actual way. You can invite people into your game. You can talk with people. It's like a guild. So I think it's really cool, but it's kind of worrisome because they might do things that people don't want, like guild versus guild, or global chat, or they might make it more, you know, lean towards player versus player, which people don't really want, and I personally do not really want. So there are some worries with it, but overall, I think it's a really nice feature. You know, alliances is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be so much easier to play with your friends.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts?
If you take out Discord and other messaging apps like that, there's no way to really communicate with your friends or any other players in Dragalia Lost. And, I mean, believe it or not, there's players that don't go on the Reddit. They don't go on the Discord. They don't do any of that. And
yeah, the more casual players.
Exactly. They're more solo players. They have no idea of this community out there. And by having this feature, we're able to bring together different sides of the community. So I do like it overall. It's just, is it going to be just more of a chat hub area? Or is it going to be a big thing having special alliance quests and things like that? It's, you know, we'll see, but it could be really good or really bad, you know?
Yeah, because like in Grand Blue Fantasy, I know there's something where you get boosts from your alliances, or they're not called alliances, but from your guild or whatever, you get boosts for just being there. So they might do things like that. Again, we'll have to wait and see until it's actually released. There hasn't even been a date placed on it, so we might get it next year.
Exactly, yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting, though, and I'm excited to see how they'll handle it. Next up on the topics here, Mercurial Gauntlet. We'll probably talk about this for a little while.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about in terms of, like, what team comps we're using, how far we've gotten. They recently, and I mean recently, I mean today, you know, at Reset, they dropped level 41 through 50 of Wind Mercurial Gauntlet, and then all of level 21 to 50 for Fire Mercurial Gauntlet. They just dropped it all at once. So tell me, what do you think of Mercurial Gauntlet, now that the new levels are coming out, and what teams have you been using, and how far are you?
So, Mercurial Gauntlet, I think this is the endgame content that dude, nobody expected.
Dragon Trials when can it sit first down. For real.
Yeah, High Dragon, sit down. This is the true endgame content. Nobody expected this to be as hard as it is, especially when it was first released. We're just like, oh, it's a punching bag mode. This is super easy. But now, now it's ridiculously hard. You need max unbinded 5-star flame or whatever strength dragons to get the clear on the higher levels. You know, level 40 alone, that's where the timer ends at 1 minute. Even that one's really hard. You need certain strategy. You know, there's some warprints that are better, like Tough Love or, you know, et cetera, whereas 41 through 50, the time limit is actually at 2 minutes, and there's a completely new strategy because Tough Love is not going to be as good.
Everything, man. That changes so much.
It changes everything.
Because there's certain units better in 60 seconds or less content. There's some units better in longer content, like 2 minute style of content. So this literally changes everything, and I bet you they're going to bump it up to 3 minutes for future levels. And I mean, I just can't believe it. Like, this is tough. This is really
tough. And you can't even iframe all of his attacks because he does so many now. He does so many attacks.
He
does like what, six?
And they hit hard, man. They hit hard. If you're trying to do like the whole...
Yeah, they did lower the damage though for the higher ones, but like so many of those hits, your team is not going to iframe them all probably.
Unless
you get really lucky.
Mm-hmm, or
remember,
unless
even
you...
if you iframe, your AI might not.
Exactly, yeah. Sometimes your AI can just be stupid. But how far
you
have you
have
gotten?
A helper.
Yeah, you do have the helper, which, you know, you better get that, what's her name, Alisan going. But how far have you gotten in each of them so far?
So for me, my flame team I thought was pretty good. And we talked about this earlier. I thought my flame team was pretty good until I saw win level 41. I actually can't even get the clear on win level 41
Dude,
right now.
Same. And my flame team, I've got 450 MC characters, all with their elemental weapons, just destroying every other style of content. But for some reason, this dude kicks my butt. Like, jeez.
This Roy Fafnir, how is he so fat?
This
I don't
big
understand.
Old
what are the
fat,
four adventures you're using?
I'm using, as my main, Golemim, because Golemim is bae.
Yeah, Golemim actually works really well for 2 minutes because you can drag in how many times? 3 times?
You can drag in three times with the right setup, but 2 times for sure. And then, let's see, I use Marth. He was a lot better in the 60-second one only because it was easier to activate his last, like, boost skill. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you could time it perfectly when you want that boost skill to activate for all your team members.
And
but
now,
in 2 minutes, it's too hard to plan all that out.
Yeah, no, he does exactly, like, with one swipe, instead of putting me in the red, instead of putting Marth in the good zone to get that boost, he puts him halfway. He puts him at like 50 HP. So if I hit him again, my Marth dies. So it's this really like awkward area for my Marth. And then my next is Makoto, who's, you know, just solid, great DPS. And then lastly, I put Gala Cerise, has some great buffs and stuff to the team, but it's just not enough. I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm gonna go back to the drawing board and just kind of see what I need to do to fix it. But I'm going to get to level 50, mark my words.
Gonna happen eventually.
It's gonna happen.
One day.
It might cost a little bit of pay to win money, but
it'll happen.
So tell me, what
about
you?
Something to note though is that, you know, with Sinnoh in specific, there might be a lot of RNG depending on, you know, crits, what your co-abilities are, and RNG based around Sinnoh getting her strength buffs or whatever buff you need to survive or to get more DPS so that you can actually get the clear. So you can just keep on trying, see if the RNG is in your favor. If it's not, you know, change up your team, try again.
And dude, it doesn't cost
stamina. That's
the
part that I do like about Mercurial Gauntlet.
Yeah, it doesn't cost
stamina. Yeah, it costs no stamina. You can keep doing it over and over and it costs you nothing but your time. So if you're like us, you have a lot of time and you could just keep on playing and playing and playing.
We have no friends.
That sounds so
no.
sad.
But
because we have no
we're making a Drink Out Your Loss podcast. We have no friends. But hang on.
Yeah.
1 second. What's your team? Do you have a Sinnoh on your team?
So I do not have Sinnoh. I'm trying without Sinnoh, but I do think I'm going to promote Sinnoh just for Mercurial Gauntlet. You know, try my hand at the RNG if I can get the clear.
Yeah.
I've tried with a lot of team layouts because, as I said earlier, I just pulled Ramona. So I'm trying to fit her into the team somehow. Before her, I was using Vanessa, and it's definitely an upgrade, but I missed out on Vanessa's defense down debuff, which was actually, I feel like it helped out.
And she also has last offense,
because I don't know how to use
Ramona
yet. And last offense. So it's missing, they're completely different play styles. Whereas, Vanessa, you want to get low HP and get that last offense and get your second skill or first skill, the one that offers the defense down. Whereas Ramona, you want to stack up strength and get your huge skill one hit off. So it's really different play styles. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to make Ramona work. The rest of my team has been Gala Cerise, Mikoto, and Marth. Just been switching around, Vanessa, Ramona.
Definitely, yeah. That's a
good
team.
You said, they're all like 45 or higher mana circled and with the elemental weapons, and I still can't clear.
Yeah, dude. It's,
so hard.
I kind of like it, though. It's giving me a reason to go back to the drawing board, kind of look at my team, look at things that are most optimal, and just really take a big glance at, it gives me perspective. I really enjoy that, and I'm looking forward to more elements being added. They did add the flame one. How far are you on in that one?
Oh, yeah, they did add flame. I think flame is easier, mainly because bog is an element that water takes advantage of, with Leviathan and High Mercury and Renee. We were talking about Renee earlier. Renee has bog.
Renee's
Jacob,
great.
I think Waiki or whatever. Yeah, Renee's great, especially from Imperial Gauntlet. But you can get that bog off once. And again, it's only once because he has 80% resistance to bog. So you can only get it off once because he gets 20% each affliction. So that 8 seconds of bog gives you 50% DPS increase for that 8 seconds. And it actually makes a really big difference, especially if you time the bog to be on his break. Your DPS is just insanely high. So the water team that I was using to get to clear flame, I cleared up to 43. So I cleared 41 and 42.
Holy,
Yeah.
Dang, dude. So you actually are further in that one than Wind. That's crazy.
Yeah, which I think is crazy. I didn't think my team was that good. I actually have Xander, Karina, Ellie, and Lily. People think Lily is not that great for Imperial Gauntlet, but I actually think she's great, but I have her 50 mana circled, so her skill damage plus 50%, I feel like...
Heck yeah.
Yeah. It makes a big difference, I think. So, again, Ellie and Karina, I think, is a great combo, because Karina's skill, I think it's skill 1, has a boost with buffs that she has on, along with Xander's skill 1, again, boost with buffs. Xander's really good because he breaks overdrive, with his 4 strikes. You know how Xander is. Speaking of Xander, one of my favorite units.
Xander's awesome. Make way. All right. Make way.
Make way for the king.
Oh, yeah.
And then, again, Leviathan is just so important because of bog. He's just so important.
Dude, okay.
How's your team looking?
Oh, okay. I've only gotten to level 27 at the moment. For some reason...
Okay, so you're still working your way through
it. I'm working my way through it. For some reason, I'm finding this so much more difficult. Just because my flame adventures were so good, and I invested so much into them. I really need to mess with my team more. It's a little bit of stubbornness, because I don't want to take off my boy Zanfried, even though I know he's straight doo-doo, but I invested into him. I have 50 and seed, dude, okay? So I feel
so bad for Zanfried.
I feel so bad for me because I invested into him and all my other Xan boys out there that invested into him.
I also have a 50 mana circle Xanfried.
It's almost like a sign of shame nowadays. When I go through my account.
But he could be useful in the future. He could be useful in the future.
The more I play with him, the more I dislike him. The more I dislike him.
Yeah, he has dragon claws, though.
He does. And he's got that dragon damage.
And dragon damage.
Or not dragon, dragon time.
It could work.
Dragon time. Heck yeah.
Dragon time, yes.
But I'm taking him off my team. I'm probably going to replace him with Elisanne, who I probably will promote just because she's so good. But my team right now is Xander leading the pack. That's who I'm using. And then I also have a, like I said, Zanfried. And then a Lily. I actually just MC'd her, 50 MC'd her today because I wanted that skill damage so badly. Yes. She's actually so good. Bad. I don't know why people dislike. Also, she freezes. You can freeze him. So
yeah, you can freeze him. So the problem is, though, of course, if you want to bog him, she might undo your bog with freeze. But
that's true. But hey, I mean, it's still useful, and it messes up his timing a little bit, so you're able to get more damage.
Yeah,
off.
So it saves your HP. Yeah,
exactly. And then my last one, I've been shifting around. I've been looking at tips on Reddit and stuff, and I put in Iyasu actually for bleed.
Oh yeah, Iyasu actually works really well.
Yeah,
especially
yeah,
if you have a 5-star dragon. He works really well.
Dude, I put him with Shinobi, And then he's just bleeding him for me. And it did help me. It helped me get a little bit further. I think I was initially at like 25 and I was having some trouble. So I'm actually really glad. I think Yasu's pretty good. Just bleed in general is just so good that it might be worth considering if you're having some trouble like I was.
Yeah, when are they going to make new bleed units? They haven't made any new ones.
So originally, like, I thought energy was like a light exclusive thing because that's what they came out with and it was all light characters. But no, so maybe I'm hoping Blade. I mean, it did get, what's his name? The Wind Blade did have bleed, so.
Addis,
yeah, Addis has it. So hopefully we get some more bleed units. Maybe it was a mistake and they were like, dang, bleed's too good.
Yeah, maybe they're like, oh no, what did we do?
Exactly. So that's what we think about Mercurial Gauntlet. You know, tell us what you think for sure. It's one of those things where everyone's in a different spot with their different teams. For example, my flame team's just really fire. Oh, well, actually, badoomch, you know what I mean?
My flame team is really fire.
My flame team is fire. Amazing.
Yes.
But for the last topic for this show, because we've been talking a long time, Chapter 9 came out. What are your thoughts?
Chapter 9, the Princess's Party. So I just want to say there will be spoilers for Chapter 9. I want to say this part before we start instead of after we start.
Yeah.
So there will be spoilers. If you haven't done Chapter 9 or, you know, you don't want to be spoiled, just click off the video or skip forward ahead, whatever you want to do. This is going to be the last topic, so you won't be missing too much if you don't want to get spoiled, so don't worry about it. But Chapter 9, the Princess's Party. First of all, the city of Chanzelia. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What? A sand boat palace?
That was
Hello.
Really cool. Oh, man.
That was so cool.
Before we get into like the specifics, what did you think? Like, what's your general review in terms of the other chapters? Did you enjoy it? Did you think it was too short? Like, what'd you think?
So I really like this chapter. I think it was needed, you know. He really needs, I say he, Yuden, the prince. He really needs some allies. You know, there was really no allies besides what was that guy, Ranzel's dad? I don't remember his name.
Oh, shoot. Him? Something, I don't even know. It's been a long time. That was like winter time when that came out, right?
Yeah, that was a couple chapters ago, yeah. So they really don't have any allies. So I feel like Shell, this chapter is much needed. Even though it was really short and I feel like there honestly wasn't too much information, right? They didn't cover that much information besides Shell, Leaf, and Patty a little bit, but mainly Shell and Leaf.
I did like that
relationship. I actually really liked the cute dynamic.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, their dynamic was really nice. And Shell apparently likes Leaf, and Leaf likes her back, which is awesome.
Dude, there's something happened between them, and it was kind of hinted, but it didn't really tell us fully. I want to see what happened. I hope maybe if there's a Gala Leaf,
Gala Leaf, please.
Yes, please. And maybe it could tell us more about that relationship. It could also, they could give us the princess. They could give us Gala Shell. You never know.
Uh-huh. Also, something to note is that usually when romance comes up, there's some sort of death flag. So that's a little bit scary. Hopefully we don't have any deaths from Leaf or Shell. That would suck. But it is just something to mention. But yeah. Overall, like I said, I really enjoyed this chapter. I feel like there was not too much information, but the information that we did get was really helpful. Like Shell, we know that she's actually a good person. We saw that the Empire is actually keeping a watch on Shell a little bit. We also at the end, you know, Zethia, she's planning something. We also got the Chapter 10 info.
Yeah, we got like
Resurgent Despair, which
the little picture, and it talks about
going to the land of Clave Loyalune, which
I'm sorry. Thank you for remembering that. Thank you for remembering that.
Clave Loyalune, like what is that? I've never heard of Clave Loyalune. So we're going to Clave Loyalune, and apparently there's a netherworm or something. Which, like, what's a netherworm? Are they talking about Zodiark? Is it, you know, just going to be Zodiark and we get our Shadow Dracolith? Or is it going to be the sixth Great Worm, you know? Or what? Like, what's going on? What's the Netherworm? I'm not really sure. Maybe it's going to be something new for the one-year anniversary where they make a new element. Maybe this chapter is going to be the chapter finale in, you know, the first section of the story where we, you know, free Zethia or something, and maybe we get Gala Zethia for the one-year anniversary.
Oh, that'd be so hype, man. They have the... Yeah. She is an adventurer in the game. They could release her.
Yeah, she's in the game. She's in the game already, so
she's been in the game since day one. Really... But, yeah. For sure.
I know. We're missing on Zethia. She's been trapped this whole time. I feel so bad for Yuden. He's just been partying without her.
I did enjoy this chapter. I do think it was a little on the shorter side. It felt like, to me at least. Maybe I just skipped through it too fast. I did read it all, but maybe I just went through it too fast.
Oh, I think it was on the shorter side.
Well, the thing is, usually, you know how, like, when you go to the map and you go to the different areas, usually those areas have more than one fight in them. They have, like, some story, a fight. Here, it was, like, just some story, one fight, and then moves on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we had a lengthy story part, though, in each time, though. Like, it wasn't short. It was pretty long.
And we got some really cool, like, illustrations, like the chess game, the one with...
Oh, speaking of the chess game, when are we going to get that chess game as an actual game?
Bring it in.
When is that going to happen? Please.
Some PvP. There's your PvP, guys. For all the people that want PvP.
Yes, PvP.
Chess PvP. Easy clap.
Chess PvP would be amazing.
You know how auto chess is like this big thing right now? There you go. Dragalia Lost has their big auto chess. Done. But it did seem like a fun chess game. Not going to lie.
Huh?
And I
thought it was really cool to display her Shell's personalities or the way she's grown during that chess game too. Granted, we didn't really know Shell before, but just hearing about it was really cool. Continue.
I mean Shell as a personality, I thought she near the end of the chapter, I thought she was legit turning on Yuden and the rest of the cast. Like I did not.
Oh yeah, me too.
That was a twist. Yep. That was definitely a twist because she. I just got the vibes. I got the evil person vibes. And then when she kind of used the prince in a way, it was smart, but also untrusting in a way. I don't know if I necessarily fully trust her. I could see her definitely turning against the prince if there was some big advantage to her turning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like something that was mentioned that was like barely mentioned in the chapter was that she has the greatest spy network in like the whole area. Mm-hmm. So that's something that can be a little scary. I'm not really sure how Yuden and them are going to take advantage of that.
And she specifically, you
know, a little scary.
She specifically mentioned how she didn't want to join the prince and everybody because there wasn't enough to gain. There was too much to lose because she'd be targeted by the Empire. So that what that tells to me is she's very orientated on her own desires. So if someone brings something desirable to her, she will be swayed like 100%. There's no
yeah, and she's even helping Yuden on the like on the down low. Nobody else is gonna know about it.
Exactly. She's not putting herself out there. But she does have that access to spies and all that. So I do think she'll be useful in some ways, and I'm hoping to see her in more chapters. One of the main things I don't like about these chapters is they feel very disconnected from the overall, like the rest of the chapters. Yeah. Like there's not people intersecting. It's like we get to know one person or one different type of or one of the princes or one of the heirs, and we don't see them at all. So I do hope she comes back now that she's actually an ally.
Yeah, I feel like the first 5 or 6 chapters where Zethia was basically turning bad. I feel like all that was connected, and then after this, it's just like an episode. Is like completely different.
Yeah, it's like an episode of an anime, you know, just completely separated. But yeah, that's chapter 9.
They'll connect soon. But yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. That's chapter 9. I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping for chapter 10. Hopefully it doesn't take too long. That'd be cool if it comes out in like September for 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, that'd be really nice for the 1 year anniversary. I think that's probably what they're going to do, because what's the rate that they've been releasing chapters, like every 2 or 3 months, right?
Yeah, every 2 to 3 months, and it usually falls in line with a High Dragon trial, which Jupiter is coming
speaking
up.
Speaking of High Dragon.
Yeah. Jupiter actually was in the chapter. Wasn't Jupiter in the chapter? Like,
yeah, he was.
That was weird.
So weird. I was like, what's Jupiter?
Jupiter's definitely, I mean, if they release Zodiark now, that'd be weird. And also, last thing about chapter 9, Light Dracolith. That's awesome.
Another... Yeah, be sure you place it. Don't forget.
Don't forget. I like almost I forgot. And there was that like double drop Jupiter event a while back, and you know I have all my orbs ready to go. I'm going to level that thing up. Yeah.
Yeah, don't sleep on the bonus that it gives, because 20% dragon damage is actually a pretty good chunk of dragon damage.
That's per hit. So that adds up as you keep hitting. Exactly. So, that's chapter 9, and that's going to be the first episode, unless there's anything else you wanted to add in here before we head on off.
No, that should be most of it. Again, we'll cover the things that, you know, weren't really announced per se. Like, we'll cover augments and asteroids more once it's actually released. We'll cover the High Dragon, if it's High Jupiter, once it's actually released and we can get our thoughts out. Of course, this is just the first episode. There's going to be lots of changes. And also, don't forget to post a comment on future discussion topics or questions, or if you want to see any special guests on the podcast, you know, let us know in the comments. We can try to make it happen. We can make the magic work. So
exactly. Yeah.
Let us know.
Definitely
again,
post.
Thank you guys.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. We'll work on this, by the way. We'll work about interrupting each other. First episode, okay?
Yeah.
But I was going to say, definitely add your questions in. We'll be doing the entire topic discussing whatever your guys' questions were for the past episode. So definitely add this in. And yeah, give us any recommendations or any critiques, you know, some good reinforcement to tell us, you know, what you'd like out of this podcast in the future.
Because we do want to improve and we want to make things better, more smooth, more fun for all of us, not only involved, but you guys watching. So yeah, that's everything I want to say.
Definitely. Yeah, that's everything I got to say too. Let's plug away. Go ahead. You go first.
Plug. I mean, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/PokemonChipHD. Log's YouTube channel is youtube.com/LivinLikeLog. I think that's your channel, right?
Yeah, you want to give him the big fat Twitter?
The big fat Twitter is also twitter.com/PokemonChipHD and LivinLikeLog.
Twitter.com/LivinLikeLog. Pretty good. We got some synergy there.
Okay. And remember, this is the first episode, so of course, things are going to get better. Thank you guys so much for watching. It really does mean a lot to me. I'm sure Log feels the exact same way.
No, it doesn't mean it. Yes, it means a lot to me. Thanks for watching, guys. We will catch you in the next episode. Should be out by the end of July, start of August, right? That's what we're doing?
Yes, sir-itos.
All right.
Wait, no, we're not sponsored.
Sponsored. Dollar Save Club. All right. See you guys later. Thanks for watching.
Have a great day. And until next time, have a nice trip.
Bye-bye.